Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
This year, as a church collectively, we have a call to continue following the one who is Jesus. We're going to keep following him and we're going to share him with others. That's our core focus, is who we are as a church this year, to follow Jesus and to share Jesus. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about what that means to me personally in my life. I shared on this, I think, the last time I spoke a few weeks ago, that I really feel challenged at the moment to approach that different this year than I have before, to think about, Jesus, how am I sharing you with others in my life practically, and what does that look like? So we're going to take a bit of a look at that today and what that means for all of us as followers of Jesus. You know, sharing Jesus with others can be something that you may be here today and you're like, I find that easy to do, Logan. I go out there and I speak the name of Jesus and I have bold conversations with people, and that's awesome. If you're able to do that, you are a gifted person. But I'm also reminded that many of us have different gifts. We're gifted differently in different ways to sharing Jesus. And I'm thankful that when we look to Jesus, we can discover truly one of the ways that all of us as followers of him can share him with others. Because Jesus, he models to you and I that through the way he loves others, through the way he sees others, through the way he treats others, that you and I can do the same to share the good news with those around us, simply in the way we live our lives. And so today, my whole thought, everything I want to say today is coming around this statement, that sharing Jesus with others starts by living a godly life. Sharing Jesus with others starts by living a godly life. And I want to be transparent with us today that this isn't the I've made it, I'm perfect, I've got it all together show, now learn from my example. No, we are all here together learning from Jesus' example as followers of him. None of us ever make it on the journey, and I'm thankful for that. But today we get an opportunity to learn what it is to live a godly life and to share Jesus with others. So I'm going to pray. First of all, we're going to let God speak, and then we're going to get into it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the miracles you've already done this week, Lord, at Sisters, and the miracles you're still doing, the miracles you are working in this room right now, Father, in this time we've had in worship and in faith. And Lord, as we look to you today, as we look to your word, we pray that you would reveal truth to every single one of us. We thank you that your word is truth, your word is life, that Jesus, you are the way and the one that we choose to follow. And so as we look to you today, we pray that you would speak to us and that you would do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So today we are going to open the Bible and we are going to take some lessons from the life of a man named Simon Peter. The man with two names. He started as Simon and he ends up as Peter, but we're just going to call him Simon Peter today. Many of us will know his story. He was an everyday guy. He was a humble fisherman. There's a few humble fishermen in the room today, Kurt and Luke. And Simon Peter was a normal person like you and I, going about his everyday life, until one day he had the privilege of meeting Jesus in person and following him personally. But what I love is that was just the beginning of a life of transformation. Just like for all of us, when we meet Jesus, it's only the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey of living a godly life. You know, Simon Peter, he got to learn from Jesus firsthand for 3 years here on earth before Jesus left earth to be in heaven, seated next to the Father. But after that, Simon Peter continued to follow Jesus his whole life, became a Jesus follower and became a pillar of the church as we know it today. In fact, Jesus told Peter that it was on him that he would build his church. You know, he went on to do great things for the glory of God. And towards the end of his life, as a prominent leader in the church, as the church was just being birthed here on earth, Peter was, at the end of his life, he was writing to other church leaders in the province of Asia Minor. And these are the books that we now know today in the Bible as 1st and 2nd Peter. He was writing to corrupt church leaders of the time, people that had been appointed to lead these church communities, but they were corrupt in their thinking and their ways of life and their teaching. And what they were doing is they were essentially saying, it's okay to follow Jesus, but you can still call the shots. You can still do your own thing. You can be your own moral authority. You can do whatever you want to do. And what I love about the Bible is I think that still speaks to, you know, the world we find ourselves in today. That constantly, I think we can see where we are at as a society today and still relate it back 2,000 years ago to when the church was being birthed. So Peter, he challenges these corrupt teachers, these false teachers, and challenging them that God is truly still our moral authority. That when we meet Jesus, when we discover him, that there is a way of life that we discover and changes that take place in our life to, in order to truly make us followers of him. So I think that sets up a good context for the scripture we're going to read today, because Peter ultimately taught that from a life of experience, remember he was a Jesus follower himself, that living a godly life is fundamental to following Jesus. So I think that's really going to speak to us today. So we're going to pick it up in the book of 2 Peter, and the first chapter, and from verse 3 to verse 11. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there with me today. It's on page 1089. Sorry, I've always wanted to make that joke. Eh? but if you don't have your Bible, it's going to come up on the screen behind me, thanks to the team. So 2 Peter 1 says this, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." I love that. Case in point right there. We could stop there. We can go home now. We can have a coffee. But no, we've got a bit more to unpack. He says, "We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." I love how he's setting up this case against these church leaders of the time that were living the wrong way. He said, these promises that God gives us, you know, they enable us to share in God's very own divine nature, to turn from the world's ways. And he carries on in his case and he says this, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises." He puts the ball in our court. Now it's time for us to do something about it. He says, "Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." How many know that's a big list of things to focus on today? Don't worry, we're not going to go through them all. We could preach on that all year, I think. But we'll come back to that in a moment. Then he goes on to say this. This is the result in verse 8. "The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't know about you, but I want to be more productive and useful in my knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think that's a call for all of us today. So that's what will happen if we follow him, if we grow in him. But it says this, the opposite will happen if we don't. "But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins." And he wraps it up by saying, "So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Man, some pretty powerful and direct teaching there, amen. But what I love about that is this is coming from a man, remember, who obviously he had the privilege of walking personally with Jesus. But for much of his life, he had to live his relationship with Jesus in faith as well as we do. And it's through his wisdom, through his experience of walking a life with the Lord, that Peter discovered, and he teaches us today, that we can live a godly life to help others. And, you know, last Sunday we had the privilege of hearing from Priscilla Shira, who was one of our great guest speakers at conference. And she brought a profound message about a pivotal moment at the start of Simon Peter's discipleship journey when he first met Jesus, that we see in Luke chapter 5 in the Bible. Many of us will know this story. It's a moment that Jesus jumps into the fishing boat and he commands Simon Peter and the guys that he was with to head out to water again and cast their nets out for a catch. You see, the guys had been fishing out all night and hadn't caught a thing. But Simon Peter, he obeys the words of Jesus and he puts down his net anyway. And what followed was a miracle catch that filled the entire boat. And Priscilla reminded us last week that in that moment, Jesus could have proved his authority. He could have proved that he was the Messiah simply by calling the fish into the boat and letting them do the work. After all, Jesus is the one that even the wind and the waves obey his voice. But Jesus chose not to command the fish. He chose to command the disciple, meaning that God had a promise waiting for Simon, but Simon had to put in work on his end. He had to put in a personal effort to receive the promise. And that's exactly why in our scripture today, Simon Peter himself reminds us that we are to make every effort to respond to God's promises. Did you know that in this book, in the Bible, there are over 8,000 promises from God to you and I, to his creation? And a promise is simply an opportunity to experience God or to receive something from God. And what we discover is that God doesn't spoon feed us with these promises or place them straight in our hands. Rather, he places them just within our reach. That's what Peter discovered, that from a life of experience and wisdom and knowledge of following Jesus, he reminds us that we are equipped to live a godly life, but it's up to us to do something about it. It's up to us to live our lives in a way that brings God glory, that brings us closer to Jesus, and that helps us to share Jesus with others. We need to do something about it. So today we're going to just talk about a few of those things, about what we can learn from the life of Peter, about how we can live a godly life, and why we can live a godly life. So firstly, a godly life is my response to what Jesus has done for me. It's my response to what Jesus has done for me. You know, Peter, like we've said already, he got to witness firsthand the miracle working power of Jesus. And right after this miracle catch takes place and the fish come into the boat, the story continues in Luke chapter 5 to show us his response. And it says this: when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "O Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, he left everything and followed Jesus. You know, I find it so inspiring that Peter's first response to Jesus, after witnessing the power and the majesty of Jesus, was to get on his knees to say, "Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm a sinful man." To drop to his knees right there and just immediately be cleansed. You know, I think it was in that moment that Peter discovered that Jesus truly was who he says he is, that he's the Messiah. That in that moment, Peter realized that Jesus, in all of his majesty, in all of his grace, in all of his mercy, in all of his power, in his sovereignty, but yet in his love, Peter realized that our first response needs to be getting down on our knees. and repenting of our sin. In fact, the Bible teaches us that to come into relationship with Jesus, all we need to do is believe in him and repent of our sin, and we may be set free. And I think there is so much power in that picture today for you and I, that living a godly life actually starts on our knees. It starts in surrender to Jesus, and surrender to his power, and surrender to his majesty. And it's saying, Jesus, you've given me so much, and so what I can give you in return is surrender. And I pray that you would work through me. You know, living a godly life, it starts on our knees. That's our response to what Jesus has done for us. At its essence, this is what Peter was saying, and this is a great definition I heard someone talk about a godly life, and it's this. It is a life that no longer seeks satisfaction through a sinful lifestyle, but is now surrendered to God and his will for our lives. That's exactly what Peter demonstrated to us in that moment. And just when we think it couldn't get any better, when we see the miracle-working power of Jesus, when we see the way that he loved us and all the things he did for us, he still went a step further. He went all the way to the cross to die for our sin. You know, I'm blown away by that. Jesus' moral teachings and what he left us here on this earth is enough. But to make all of that truly worth it, he went all the way for us. Jesus paid it all on the cross so that you and I may walk in freedom. He paid it all on the cross so that you and I may sit here today in fellowship with one another, in fellowship with him, and to discover his promises. It cost him his life to do that. And the reality is, in return, there is a cost for us to follow Jesus. You know, Luke 5 verse 11 tells us that straight after Peter and the other disciples got out of the boat, after this miracle had taken place, that they left everything. They left everything to follow Jesus. They left their homes, they left their families, they left their friends, they left their jobs to follow Jesus. Now, thankfully, Jesus isn't asking us to leave behind our families and our homes today, but the challenge for us really is this. What am I leaving behind to follow Jesus? And I think there is things we can all leave behind. Things like attitudes, disappointments. I think we should be leaving things like bad habits or distraction, complacency, sinful desires, worldly ways. This is something that we don't have to always get perfect, but it's about where is our heart positioned? How am I positioning my heart to follow Jesus? You know, I love these words in Matthew 7 that Jesus teaches us around the cost of following him. He says here, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. The gateway to life essentially is that promise that God has for us just within our reach. But for us to get there, we have to walk the narrow path. Because the truth is, there is a higher cost to going God's way to discovering this gateway of life. Jesus says that the road is difficult. But the good thing is for you and I, church, is that there is also a higher reward. There is a higher reward for following Jesus as opposed to following the world. We have a promise of eternal life, of life in all of its fullness, not only for myself, but for others that we also get to share Jesus with. That's the good news for us today. You know, the Bible says that when we discover Jesus, that the old ways are gone and the new ways become part of our reality. That in that transaction of meeting Jesus, there is a change that takes place, a change in the way that we live our lives, a change in our attitudes. You know, there's an attitude in an upward direction towards how we see God. We say, God, I'm honoring you in everything I do now. Everything I have comes from you. Our attitude towards God changes. There's an attitude that changes inwardly in our heart, that no longer I'm a selfish person, no longer I'm someone that lives for myself, but I live for God and I live for others because of what he's given me. And finally, there's a change in our attitudes in an outward direction, the way that we live our lives, because we are commanded to love our neighbor, to love them as ourselves, that we are to show the love of the Father through us to people around us. And it's this change that turns our ordinary lives, just as it did for Peter, into a godly life. Living a godly life is my response to what Jesus has done for me. And secondly, the life of Peter reminds us that a godly life is a journey and not a destination. I love this one. As Peter and the disciples, they stepped off the boat and they left everything to follow Jesus, they weren't immediately transformed in that moment, but it was the very first step of a lifelong journey. As I mentioned earlier, it was 13 years ago at Sisters Conference that I first discovered my calling into full-time ministry. And honestly, at that point in my life, I was a young 19-year-old living in Auckland. I'd just finished study, and I was now working full-time at a sound and lighting company because that's what I was passionate about. And I didn't even really know at the time that working at church was a thing, especially doing what I was doing. But it was this week, like I just said, that at Sisters Conference, I was serving on the audio team, and I figured out for the first time, man, maybe this is something I could do in ministry. And it was literally 2 weeks later, a great man named Dan, he's still a good friend of mine today, a very close friend of mine, he called me and he said, would like you to come and work for church. And I knew in that moment, it didn't take me long to stop and think about it, that I'd only been at the sound and lighting company for 6 months, but if I had to pick up the phone again and say, hi, this is Logan from Edward Sound, how may I help you today? And organize another sound system for someone's backyard party, that I knew if I did that again, I was going to miss my calling. I was going to miss my shot. And, you know, the be-all and end-all isn't working for church. I'm not trying to say that, but it's in that moment that I found my calling. It's that I found my ministry. And if God had said to me in that moment, do this because you're going to be a pastor, like I said, I probably would have freaked out and ran away. But God allowed my next step to be something that I was passionate about. He allowed my journey to be something that was unique for me, something that he had gifted me with, that I could say, yes, God, I want to use this for you. And the same goes for every one of us today. You know, we all have a ministry. If you're called to be a builder in this place, God has equipped you for that ministry. If you're called to be a teacher in this place, God has equipped you for that ministry. If you're called to be a parent in this place, God has equipped you for that ministry. Whatever it is, I'm thankful that we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to have it all done overnight, because discipleship is a lifelong journey and it's made up of next steps and daily decisions. You know, Pastor Luke shared a great message 2 weeks ago about this picture of following Jesus. Luke chapter 9, many of us will know this. Jesus speaking to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. You know, Pastor Luke unpacked that this is the fine print of our faith. This is the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. But my favorite word in that scripture is the word daily. The power in our relationship with Jesus is in the daily decisions. You know, honestly, there are many days where I don't feel like doing what I'm called to do. There are many days where I don't feel like taking up my cross. There are many days where I don't feel like giving up my own way. There are days where I just feel like being lazy and having no responsibility. And that's okay too. But I'm thankful that my relationship with Jesus is not based on how I feel, but it's based on a daily decision to follow him, to carry on the journey. You know, the same goes for my marriage with Briar. Not every day do I feel like being the perfect husband. It's a hard job to keep up, guys, honestly. No, I've got a very easy job. She's doing the hard work at the moment. There are some days, the reality is, though, there are some days that are challenging, that we have disagreements, we have conflicts, where we need to get on the same page about things. But every day, I have the opportunity, if I wish to accept it, to choose that I love her, to choose that I'm committed to her. And when I do that, I've discovered our relationship, it grows deeper over time. And the exact same goes with our friend Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. You know, I think a real enemy of discipleship today is instant gratification, that we want everything right away. There's so much at our fingertips that we want the destination, but we don't want the journey to get there. It is in the journey that we find the depths of our relationship with Jesus. It is in the journey that deepens our relationship with him. It's the wrestling and it's the going back and forth on things. You know, I've used this line before, that salvation is less of a line that we cross, but it's more of a direction that our lives head in. Meaning that when we meet Jesus, that's just the first step on our journey, on a lifelong journey. What matters from that point on is the direction that we're facing. Are we facing in the direction of Jesus? Or are we facing in the direction of the world, of the pressures around us? This is a process that we start on known as sanctification, which is a process of being saved, of being set free, of being free from sin and being purified. I think that's a beautiful picture of our journey with Jesus. A godly life is a process. It's a journey and it's not a destination. And finally, the crux of my message comes down to this, that a godly life creates an example for others to follow. This is at the heart of my message today. If we take anything away from today, it would be this, that the whole point of living a godly life, the reason that we make every effort, as Peter instructs us, is to create an example for others. It's this example that we set that enables us to share Jesus with others. This is the bread and butter. You know, many of us have probably heard inspiring stories or testimonies of people's salvation where people say, oh, you know, I knew such and such as a friend and I could just tell there was something different about them. And when I discovered what that was, it was Jesus. And they came to know Jesus through someone else's example. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person like that. I want to be a guy that people meet, people look at, people talk to and say, there's something different about that guy. There is something that he's got that I don't, that I need. And that thing is Jesus. You know, Jesus himself, in one of his famous teachings, reminds us of the powerful example that our lives can be to others in Matthew 5. He reminds us that you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Not just the people you like. Not just the people you get on with. Not just your family or your housemates or whatever that looks like for you. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You know, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be light in the dark situations around us. And I believe Jesus, he, from his teachings, from the way he lived his life, he gives us a tool. He gives us the greatest tool to share him with others. Much like a builder's greatest tool is a hammer sitting in the pinny, you know, just like that. I want you to picture that, like Kurt out there on the worksite. He's got the hammer. Can you spin it around in your hand or... Yeah, he's got the tricks. That's his greatest tool. For us as Jesus followers, our greatest tool is love. The greatest tool we have in our tool belt as followers of Jesus is love. You know, Peter, throwing it back to our main scripture today, he listed those 7 qualities of living a godly life, but he saved the best till last, and he said, it is love. Because love lies at the very heart of living a godly life. Again, it's something that Peter learned from Jesus firsthand. This word love that we use in the Bible is stemmed from the Greek word agape, which refers to a selfless, sacrificial concern for the good of others. It is an unconditional love. I love that because it has Jesus written all over it. You know, as followers of Christ, we are called to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind and all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And in Ephesians 5 verse 2, I love this scripture because it's like the Apostle Paul, he's giving us the owner's manual for how we can use this tool. And he says this, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. I just love that. I love the simplicity of that scripture. As we live a life filled with love, as we follow the example of Christ, we discover that as we live this godly life, as we go on this journey with Jesus, our life creates an example for others to follow. You know, like I said at the start, I find myself this year more than ever before being challenged to share Jesus with others. And I really want to, I guess what I have on my heart as we sort of bring it to a close today is to remind each and every one of us that this message isn't about having it all perfect. This message isn't a message saying we need to live up to this standard. It's great for us to have our focus on that standard, but it's not about being perfect. It's simply about where our heart is positioned. Whether we are following in Jesus' direction or we're following in the ways of the world. Because the amazing thing is that when we discover Jesus, this journey starts with Jesus. Everything starts and ends with him. It starts with Jesus, and our first response is to live our lives in response to what he's done for us. Secondly, we head on this journey, and we find along the way it is a journey. And it's not about the destination. In this journey, there's many highs and lows, there's many ups and downs, but every one of those things is an opportunity for us to grow closer to Jesus. And as we do, we become more like him as well. And then finally, through that journey, our mission and our goal as followers of Jesus is to create an example for the others that are following along behind us. That the way that we would live our lives, that the way we would look to God's word and discover this godly life, that we would be able to share him with others. Remember, sharing Jesus with others starts by living a godly life. And so, before we close today, it would actually just be my honor to pray for us, as a community, to pray for every single one of us here today. And maybe there were parts of that message that spoke to you. Maybe there wasn't, but I believe that for every single one of us, we are all called to follow Jesus and to share him with others. So maybe with your eyes closed today, I'd just love to pray for each and every one of us, because we are here in this place today as followers of him, not just to do routine, not just to do church, but to learn something, to take something from him, and we have the opportunity to apply it to our lives today. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your example. We thank you that when we look to your word, when we look at the Bible, we see so many great examples, Lord. But as we've learnt today from your disciple, from Simon Peter, God, that it is over a lifetime that we get to do this journey with you. That every day we get to take a step forward. That every day you sharpen us, Lord God, and you smooth off the rough edges, Lord, and you create us as new creations. You change us into becoming more and more like you, Father. So I just pray for us today, Lord, as a community of faith, right here in Tauranga City, as we just take a moment to stop, to breathe, to think of you today, and to think of your power and your love in our lives, that there be something that you've spoken to us today, Lord God, that we can take and we can show you to others this week, Lord God. Whether that's an attitude we can leave behind, whether it's a person in our life we can forgive, whether it's getting up a little bit earlier and making time for you, Jesus, whether it's simply getting down on our knees, just as Simon Peter did in the boat, and surrendering our life to you again. Whatever that is, Lord, I just pray over us today that you would activate that in our lives. Father, we love you. We thank you, and we look to you. We thank you that you are our leader.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.